Hey world, this is the Expanded Seed podcast. My name is Christine. This is a podcast where we discuss all things women's health and spirituality and discover the intricacies of the world around us and just how connected we really are. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, everyone. So today I have my friend Monique here, who's going to talk with us about various different things, mostly around birth, her birth story, around doulas, midwives, all the things. So I'd love for her to just introduce herself here. She can probably talk about herself better than I can, so...
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of your podcast, so thank you. A little introduction. Let's see. So after becoming a mother, I gained a huge appreciation towards how powerful and strong the woman body is. I learned so much through both of my birth experiences, and I was able to connect with myself unlike I ever had before. I found my inner strength and was able to completely let go of all fears and trust my body and my baby, which was not something I ever thought I could do, but I totally was able to do it. My first birth was an unmedicated vaginal birth, and my second was a home birth, and I'm now planning my next home birth. So my home birth gave me so much more than I could have imagined. I felt completely in my power with no outside authority dictating or trying to control outcomes. My birth was trusted, not only by myself, but also my birth team. And the moment I pulled my daughter out of the birth pool and onto my chest was an indescribable and incredible experience. My birth shaped who I am today. I developed an obsession with the entire birthing process and the desire to help women feel warm, nurtured, and supported through labor, birth, and the postpartum. So now I am a home birth doula walking with women as they experience pregnancy, birth, and beyond.
Yay. That's so awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
I mean, there's so many things that you mentioned that I wanted to, like, ask you about, too. And, like, I think there's such a... I hate using the word taboo, but like there's such a like every time I talk to someone about home birth, it's always like, oh my God, that's so terrifying. And like, you know, and it's like, how does that even work? Like, what if something goes wrong? Like, you know, there's such a like fear around it, I feel like.
Right.
And so I'd love for you to just share more about your experience and how you like felt, because you mentioned, you know, that you felt really kind of empowered by it and it kind of changed you in that sense. So yeah, if you can expand
right
on that.
So it's interesting, like before ever becoming pregnant, I was definitely one of those people that was like, why would anyone have a natural birth? Why would anyone choose to not have medication? That doesn't even make sense. That's crazy. And I like remember even talking to my grandma about it when I was like 14, just asking her about her births. And I was like, what? They didn't have an epidural? Like, that's crazy. And I've changed so much just as a person. And I think, honestly, I'm really thankful for my family who kind of inspired me to look outside of the box, because my husband, James, and my mother-in-law, who is a chiropractor, are very, like, natural and holistic-minded, and I was not that person when I first met them. And they weren't pushy, but they were just like, hey, like, have you thought about this? Have you considered this? And I was gifted a book, and I think it was called Your Baby, Your Way. And it was really good. It was about what it did is it gave you two perspectives on birth with every situation. So it was what are the pros and cons of medicated birth versus unmedicated birth? How does that affect mom? How does it affect baby? And it went through everything, midwives, doulas, OBs, vaccines, prenatal care, and it just kind of gave you both sides. And you were able to then kind of make an informed choice. And just by reading the information from that book, I was like, whoa, I had no idea that certain things could like affect outcomes and like how having Pitocin during labor like can slow labor and can cause issues with baby and mom. And it was eye-opening. And so it kind of just was the gateway to me exploring this other side of birth. And so that's why I chose to have an unmedicated hospital birth with a midwife. There are things now that I have learned that I would have done differently. But I feel like overall it was a really great experience. Now home birth just kind of changed everything for me. I felt there was no, and I kind of mentioned this in my introduction, but there was no like outside authority telling me what I could and couldn't do. And it was so powerful to just be able to say, no, hey, I don't want that. And then not be questioned about it and just be trusted. And like, it's just a totally different experience to completely trust within yourself that you're capable of birth and that birth is natural and it's physiological and it's beautiful and you don't need people poking you and prodding you and like telling you that you have to do this or something's going to go wrong or there's no time frame. It's, you know, it's just this awesome experience. I don't know. And so having that home birth was like, oh my gosh, like birth is just amazing. Like how can everyone should do it? Like, I don't know. Yeah. It was great. And so it really just kind of kickstarted my, you know, dream into helping women feel their own power when giving birth. And it's been awesome and I love it.
Yeah, I think there's such a like just a disconnect in general from like women trusting their bodies. And I've heard a lot of women, especially when they talk about giving birth, that it's like that thing happens and they're like, oh my God, yeah, like I just trust my body and I know what's going on. And I think too, yeah, like the having a doctor like always saying something or like, now we have to do this or it's this time to induce or, you know, and versus like really just being in tune with what your body wants to do. And yeah, I think that's such a like empowering experience.
Thank you. I mean, I honestly, and I feel like I've mentioned this before, I don't know, but I feel like society and our culture today have such a negative impact on birth. And that's all we see is like these horror birth stories where women are in excruciating pain and it's life or death. And like, oh no, baby's going to die. We need the doctor to save you. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, especially
it's just
like in movies.
Scary. And you're on the edge of your seat and you're just like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to experience that. And that's the only way that I truly see birth on, you know, TV and movies and stuff like that. And so from a very young age, before you can even comprehend it, that's what you're seeing. And it's just kind of instilled. And so you really have to unschool yourself on birth and like, which is hard. I feel like it can be hard for a lot of people. It was hard for me, but I don't know if you're open to it. You can experience this beautiful thing that isn't scary and it isn't the worst pain of your entire life. And it's, you know, it's magic.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome. So I'd love to kind of back up a little bit because you mentioned, you know, that you had a midwife the first time and then you transitioned into kind of this doula work that you're doing. And so I'd love for you to just kind of describe like, for maybe people that don't know, like what the difference between a doula and a midwife is.
Yeah, so a doula actually translates to a servant to women. So what a doula does is they focus on the needs of the mother by providing emotional and physical support during, before, and after childbirth. And then they can also help women through miscarriage, induced abortion, and stillbirth. So there's a lot of different roles that a doula can play. Primarily, you see it in a labor setting. But doulas can serve women in hospitals, birth centers, and home births. And they really just focus on the mom's needs. And that varies. I mean, depending on what she's wanting from you or what she's needing at that time, it could be, you know, doing pain management techniques or bringing her food and water or, you know, just pumping her up and making her feel good and being a companion and being a friend and being someone to count on. So that's what a doula is. Now, there are lots of different types of midwives. And if you're okay with it, I'll kind of explain all of them.
Yeah, totally.
So there is a certified nurse midwife, which is a CNM. And these midwives are trained in nursing and midwifery. So they went to nursing school first and then a midwifery education program. Now, they are primarily seen in clinics and hospitals. And in Nebraska, CNMs, it is illegal for a certified nurse midwife to attend a home birth. It's illegal for them to do it. And so that's why a lot of people think that home births are illegal here, which they're not. Just having a certain provider, I guess, is against the law. Then there are, let's see, direct entry midwives, which are also known as certified professional midwives or certified midwives. And these women have received a background in health-related fields other than nursing, and then they graduate from a midwifery education program. Now, the way that the law is stated in Nebraska, they're not even written into the law. So it's not against or for those types of midwives to serve women in home birth here. So there are CPMs that do serve women in home births in Nebraska. It gets a little tricky, though, because there have been instances where a CPM has even tried to be prosecuted in the state of Nebraska just based on certain outcomes or families disagreeing with the mother's choice and stuff like that. But it's not illegal for them. Technically, it's not written into the law. And then the other type of midwife is a traditional midwife, or they can also be known as a radical birth keeper. Now, these women may gain their experience through years of attending births alongside wise women and or midwives, as well as personal experience. So traditional midwifery protects the autonomy of the birthing mother. She does not answer to any higher authority, such as a licensure, only the mom. So a certified nurse midwife and a CPM, those who are certified or go to an educational program, they work for someone. They work under their licensure. And so sometimes those licensures prohibit them to do certain things like, I can't attend a birth past 42 weeks, for example. My license prohibits that. You can no longer be under my care if you are 42 weeks in one day. Whereas a traditional midwife or a radical birth keeper doesn't have that licensure restricting them. And it's completely between mom and the birth keeper. And so if that birth keeper is comfortable seeing that mother to 43 weeks, 44 weeks, that's totally okay. And there's no one that's going to come in and dictate that. And so traditional midwives are not an authority figure at all, but instead attend births to witness, support, and share wisdom. And I also want to add that choosing to not certify can technically be considered a radical choice by some people. But I don't feel like it means that they are less qualified. And so there are traditional midwives or radical birth keepers serving women in Omaha as well. And that's the one that I had at my birth. and it was great.
Wow. I had no idea there were like so many different types. That's wow.
Right.
That's amazing.
Because you think midwife and you think it's all just kind of like, oh, a midwife, like a holistic person who's going to take care of me and it's going right. to be great. But yeah, there are so many different tiers.
Wow. Yeah. And for those that are listening, yeah, we're both located in Omaha, Nebraska. And so we're talking specifically more about here. So
well, and it's funny because I think Nebraska is either the only state or one of two states, I can't remember, that has that law. So in every other state, a certified nurse midwife is allowed to attend a home birth.
Wow.
They still work under their licensure, but it's not in the law that it's, you know, illegal. Mm-hmm. So it makes it challenging for women in Omaha, women in Nebraska, I feel like, to find that midwife. Because it's so quote unquote underground, right? Like it's, mm-hmm. you have to know someone who's had a home birth to find that midwife. And then there's only, I mean, as of right now, I only know of 4 women serving Nebraska. And so that's not a lot, you know, that's not a lot of options for people here, but it's happening and hopefully it changes.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea there was so few. Like, I mean, I guess it kind of...
I mean, there might be more. I just personally only know of a few of them. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the... I feel like the, like, the licensure thing is really interesting, you know, because, like, back in the day, like, it was just, like, in women's nature to, like, do this, right?
Yeah.
And then it's, like, all of a sudden we were, like, no, now we need, like, this training and this license to do this and this. And, like, kind of restricts, you know, what they can do. And I feel like that, too, kind of takes away from, like, the little bit of, like, the intuition and, yeah, just kind of helping, supporting women in what they need.
Right.
Whatever
arises. Definitely. I mean, people get so attached to that title, right? They think that like, oh my gosh, if this person isn't certified, they know nothing. Right. And I don't want that person at my birth. When I feel like that's totally not true. Like they could have years and years and years of experience serving women, and they could have seen so many different varieties of birth compared to someone who chooses to get certified. And I mean, who knows? But I don't feel like that certification or that title, you know, like I said, makes you better in any way. I just think it's different. And if that's what someone wants, then wonderful. And if it isn't, then that's okay too. Just explore those options.
Yeah. So how did, like, what was the process that you went through of like finding your midwife and your doula?
So the midwife that I found was pretty not underground, I guess. And so I had posted in a group asking like, hey, I want to have a home birth. How do I get in touch with this person? And typically what I've seen is people responding and saying, hey, I'll send you a message and I'll have my midwife contact you. But the midwife that I chose messaged me directly and was like, hey, I serve women in home birth, here's my website, here's my information. If you're interested, like, let's talk. And so I met with her, and then I was given another name as well. I did call that midwife, but I didn't hear back from her right away. And so when I had my interview with this midwife that I chose, oh, it was great. I fell in love right away. Like, everything that she said was so perfect, and like, she answered all of my questions. And I just felt really safe with her and connected with her. And she was just this wise, motherly woman, you know, and I hired her right away and it was great. And I mean, it's silly, not silly, but looking back at it, like, I basically had her as a what if scenario. So my home birth experience was very hands off. It was more just like, I want to labor how I want to labor. If I ask you to do something, then do it. Otherwise, just stand over there. And like, that's exactly what she did. It was great. I mean, she did counter pressure. She took turns with my husband doing counter pressure. But other than that, like, I birthed completely on my own, and I caught my own baby, and like my husband was there and my daughter was there, and it was just this, it was great. And like, I, having her there felt good for me at that time. Like, it felt safe. I knew that she knew what she was doing. If anything happened where I needed her, she was there, she was educated. And I felt very confident in that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I remember talking with a friend about just kind of going more into like the fear stuff. Like, she mentioned like what was it? It was something like her second daughter had like a cord around her neck or something, and mm-hmm. so she was like, if I did a home birth, like, you know, my baby could have died and like all this stuff. And it's like, I think there's these misconceptions that like midwives like just like don't know what to do when stuff like that happens. So yeah, maybe if you can talk like a little bit more about like what they're maybe like what they're trained in, and if they are trained to really, you know, handle crises like that, or sure. If the baby's breached, or, you know, stuff like that.
Right. So what's interesting is that's how my brother was born, with the cord wrapped around his neck, tied, and then wrapped around his neck and tied. And I remember growing up, my mom saying this like, oh my gosh, thank goodness I was a C-section or my son would die. And I was like, well, now knowing what I know, I'm like, that's not true at all. Like, it's okay for the cord to be wrapped around the baby's neck because the baby is getting oxygen through the placenta still. And all you have to do is untangle it. It's very unlikely that the cord is so tight that when baby takes its first breath, it can't breathe. There is, oh my gosh, Wharton's jelly, I think is what it's called, on the umbilical cord. So even if there's a knot in the cord, you can literally move the knot. It just slides. Wow. The placenta, the veins inside the placenta are not collapsing. So baby is still getting oxygen. So this like theory that, oh my gosh, my baby almost died, the cord was wrapped around the neck thing, I feel like is not very accurate. It's very fear-based. But all you do is you take it off. I mean, you lift it up off the baby's head and it's okay. But as far as like other emergency situations, I do feel like they are completely prepared to handle any kind of situation. And breech birth is just another variation of normal. And sadly, you know, our doctors and our CNMs are not trained in breech. And so they feel like it's this, you know, this scary emergency thing that my baby's going to die. But there are women having breech births at home unassisted, perfectly fine. And it's just trusting your body and trusting your baby. And like, there are things that you can do to change positioning if you really are uncomfortable with a breech birth. But there are also very safe and natural ways to handle, I guess, a breech birth. And it's just educating yourself. I mean, there's books and there's websites and there's classes that you can take to just be more informed on the what ifs with breech, I guess. Mm-hmm. But any situation that could come up that's an emergency, I mean, I feel like those are questions that could be specifically asked to that midwife and hear their response. If they don't know what they would do in that situation, then maybe that's not the right person for you. But if their response is, you know, if you feel confident in it and you trust them and you know that they can handle those things, then I don't feel like there's anything wrong with it. And that's where I felt like, if my baby came out not breathing, would my midwife know what to do? Yes, she would know what to do. And I also trust her enough to know that, hey, if I really truly need to transfer, she's going to tell me. And then we can make that choice together. So yeah, I feel like it's just asking the right questions. And if you're comfortable with those answers, then there's nothing wrong with home birth. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, hiring that person to be present at your birth. But I do feel like they are very capable of handling situations, and that may come up.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. That's kind of like what I was like assuming, but I'm glad you clarified a little bit more. You mentioned cesarean, and I'd love to like talk about that for a second because I watched that documentary, The Business of Being Born. Mm-hmm. I think I've sent it to you. I think you've seen it too, right? Have you seen it?
I honestly have started it, but I have not finished it. So I have not seen the whole thing, which is crazy because I feel like I totally should have seen it multiple times by now, but that's
yeah,
okay.
But they talk about cesarean and how it's like literally like, this is just an easy way for doctors to, you know, in and out. Right. And it's like, and then they get paid and it's, you know, because they just don't have time for the natural birth. Along with things like, you know, birthing on our backs and like why that's so terrible and like, you know, all of those things. I'd love for you to just kind of like, just share your thoughts on that.
Well, I guess where to start. So I'm going to be honest, like, I don't know a ton about cesarean births other than they're pushed upon way more than actually necessary. I mean, I do think that most births that end in a cesarean are not a true emergency situation that needed to be a cesarean. It's more like, hey, you're this far along, let's induce you. And then the induction, you know, just causes kind of like a cascade of other things that come up and heart rates to go up and you're not dilating fast enough. So let's up the Pitocin, but upping the Pitocin causes stronger contractions. And then mom feels like she can't do it. So she needs an epidural and now she can't feel her body and she can't feel what she's doing. And there's people telling her that her baby's going to die. And like, it causes cesareans, you know, there's just a cascade of events. Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying that
women who choose cesareans are wrong. Like, of course, if that's the birth that you want, then that's the birth that you want, and that's okay. But there are other ways, and it doesn't have to be such fear-based, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if women were trusted more and our providers were more educated and weren't so, I don't know, get this done by this time or you're not dilating fast enough, like, if that was just gone and birth was trusted, I feel like there would be way less cesareans. Birthing on your back is just not really when you think about it, why not use gravity, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, why make it harder for yourself to be lying there? Like kind of helplessly, right? And like the whole coached pushing thing, like having people tell you when to push, when it's crazy, like your body does it for you. And I really experienced that difference between my first and second birth is my first birth in the hospital was coached pushing. And for the most part, like my labor was pretty uninterrupted, but I didn't know what coached pushing was. And so then all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, I feel this urge. And so it's like, all right, push, count to 10, hold it, and like I tore. And I think it's because I tore because I'm not pushing with my contractions. I'm not letting my body do the work. I'm like fighting it.
Right. It's like, why would you poop the same, you know,
you
the same way?
To poop.
You know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, why would we poop that? We don't poop that way, so why would we birth that way?
Right. Exactly. No, exactly. And so birthing on your back is just another variation of that. I feel like it's, you know, you're working against yourself. You're working against gravity. Like, baby needs to descend and move down, so why not allow that to happen? And that feeling of pushing, like, you don't even have to push. Like, you just, like, your body just contracts it for you. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, it's doing it. It's doing it. Like, it's great. That's why women who are in comas can still give birth. Because their bodies push the baby out for them. And so, yeah, I feel like there would just be way less emergency and way less cesarean if, you know, birth was trusted and it was more physiological and it was more natural and it was, you know, not an emergency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just watching The Handmaid's Tale not too long ago, and it was like that episode where she is like in this house and she's super pregnant and she just ends up like birthing on her own, and it's like this really badass like experience, yeah, of her just like pulling this baby out, and yeah, and I'm like, how did we get so like far away from that, and if that is just part of, you know, Western medicine and the medical like development and all this stuff and drugs and yeah, there's such a like disconnect, I feel like.
Right. No, I totally agree. We're moving further and further away, you know, and there is that group of women that knows that, and they're, you know, they're fighting and they're holding on to this natural birth, this powerful birth that they can have at home, but there's not as many of them, you know, and I hope that home birth kind of, I think this COVID thing is bringing it back a little. I think that people are like, oh, I don't want to give birth there. That doesn't seem safe. Like, maybe, ooh, I'll just do it at home.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I hope that things change, you know, I hope that people can feel, or women can feel more in power and less like, what's going on with my body? Like, I've never, you know, like, what's happening? Is this normal? Like, just trusting yourself, finding that trust again. It's just so lost and it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's just in our natural body, like our natural bodies, how they are now, even before pregnancy, you know? And then I can't imagine, you know, if you already have a lack of trust in your body and then getting pregnant, and I just feel like that's just heightened a little bit, you know,
right,
because then you're carrying a child and it's like this, yes, there's so much fear around it.
Right. And people like, and people love to tell you their fears, right? Like, especially, yeah, when you're pregnant, I feel like these people come out of the woodwork and they're just like, oh my gosh, I almost died. And oh my gosh, like, you're 40 weeks pregnant and you don't have your induction scheduled yet. Like, just these people kind of in and out, like, of course it's going to create anxiety and for you to feel a little unsettled and for you to question your inner self. And like, people just need to leave pregnant people alone and like, let them come to you. Like, their pregnancy is none of your business. And you don't have to share anything when you're pregnant, and people shouldn't be forced to share anything when they're pregnant unless they want to. And yeah, there's just too much fear. There's too much negativity around it.
Yeah. So I wonder if you can talk about a little bit like right after your pregnancy, like what all that entails, and maybe like postpartum and like ways to support women, because I know you've mentioned that's something you're kind of passionate about, so you,
yeah,
want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So when I was pregnant with my first daughter, I like, you know, I did all the work and I did all the inner work and got to the place where I felt confident and comfortable, like having an unmedicated birth and all of these things, but I completely ignored postpartum. I was like, I mean, I've heard of it, but why would I get it? Like, that seems crazy. I don't have depression. I feel great. Like, I'm not, you know, I take care of myself. So why? And then I got postpartum depression and I didn't even acknowledge the fact that I had it until I was 18 months postpartum.
Wow.
And I was just living this like life of rage. And I felt totally not myself. I was angry all the time. And like, I didn't have fears of hurting my baby myself, but it was like, if I was walking with my baby, I would like imagine a stranger ripping my baby from my arms and like hurting her. And it, wow, was constant. It was just constantly there. And so at 18 months, I mean, I had my husband mentioned it to me, but I was just like, I don't have postpartum depression. Depression is when you're sad. Like, I'm not sad. And finally, you know, at 18 months, I'm like, okay, like, I cannot live this way forever. Like, something's up. And so I reached out to a local herbalist and I got on a tincture and I started attending postpartum depression support groups. And I was like, oh my God, I'm experiencing all of that. Like, why didn't I do this sooner? And so, like, having that support, those group of women, and like helping to, you know, change my hormones and balance my hormones a little bit, like, it was gone. I fixed it and I felt so much better. So then with my second, my home birth, I was like, I am not going to get postpartum depression again. Like, I am going to do everything that I can to avoid postpartum depression because it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And so, I was seeing my herbalist during pregnancy. I had tinctures made for postpartum to start taking to help prevent postpartum depression. I had my emergency number kits, right, of the people that I would call or the support groups that I might need or who to reach out to if I felt a certain way. And then I also consumed my placenta because I heard that consuming your placenta lowers your chance for postpartum depression. And so I was like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to do it even if people think it's crazy. And I don't feel like I really had postpartum depression. And I don't know if it's because of the steps that I took or, you know, this pregnancy was just so different, or the birth was so different than maybe, who knows? Who knows what caused me to not have it? But I did experience, I guess, some baby blues here and there. There would be days that were harder than others, which I think is normal, but it was nowhere near after my first birth. And so my advice for dealing with postpartum depression is, like, don't ignore it. Like, don't prepare for it, because your fourth trimester, your postpartum, is so important. Your mental health is so important, and building that connection with your baby, like, all of it plays a part, you know. And your postpartum should be a time of no stress and a time of community and support and being held by other women and, like, not having to go to the grocery store and not having to make dinner, but have those things be done for you. And so there are ways that you can support women in postpartum. I mean, there's postpartum doulas that you can hire that will do whatever you want, whether it's, you know, dishes, cleaning, helping with the baby, helping with breastfeeding, running errands for you, cooking meals, or watching your other kids, like, anything that relieves stress. But then there's, you know, reach out to your friends, to your family, anyone who you would want in that space, because postpartum is a sacred time too, and you don't want everyone in and out of your door. You know, you're trying to bond with this new life, like, don't have it interrupted all the time. But yeah, there's meal trains and there's things that you can do to bring a meal to a mom who just had a baby, or buy her an herbal bath, or, you know, take care of her a little bit, because I think she deserves it.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I just didn't know there was, like, such a big, just like a big thing that you do after too, you know.
Not a lot of people do that. I mean, now that I'm pregnant with my third, I'm like, I'm more planning my postpartum than I am my birth. To me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got this. I can have birth. I can give birth. Mm-hmm. I love it. That's my favorite part. Yeah. Like, postpartum is where I need help. It's where, you know, now I'm going to have three kids. Like, yeah. I need community. I need support. I need someone to bring me dinner so I can breastfeed my baby. Like,
right.
And not have to cook meals, you know? So, like, my postpartum matters so much more to me. And I feel like if postpartum depression was talked about more, more women would be able to better prepare for it. but it's not really spoken about. It's like this embarrassing thing that no one wants, right? No one wants to have postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety. Like, it's, you know, it's not talked about. So I feel like sharing your stories and your experiences and reaching out to moms, and not just saying like, hey, you just had a baby, can I do anything for you? But saying, hey, like, congratulations on your baby, I have a meal for you, can I drop it off? Like, just, you know, offering to help where you can, when you can.
Yeah, and I feel like we've almost, like, normalized a lot of those things. Like, oh, it's normal that you feel depressed, it's normal that you get angry, it's normal that you have anxiety afterwards. Instead of this, like, maybe, you know, you don't have to feel that way.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And it can come at any time. You know, like, when you, typically when you see, like, a CNM or an OB or something, you have that magical, like, 6-week postpartum appointment where you get a sheet of paper and you check it off and they see if you have postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting my little paper and I was like, oh, I don't have that. Like, I don't have that. Or like, even just thinking like, I mean, I kind of have it, but it's not that bad. So like, I can handle it. Mm-hmm. And like, just being afraid to even tell my provider what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And then after that 6-week appointment, you don't see them again. They're gone. And I think the difference between, you know, someone like that versus a traditional midwife or a birth keeper that I know of is they're with you for life. If I texted my midwife today, 3 years postpartum, I would be like, she would message me back and she would give me resources and she would help me and like, I would feel connected to her and like supported. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that 6-week checkup is just not enough. Because it can come at any point. It can come, you know, 6 months later.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, totally. I just hate those. I just hate those, like, and we do them too for, you know, just regular mental health too. It's like,
right.
Have you ever had suicidal thoughts? And it's like, well, yeah, sometimes, but not all the time. And then, you know, like.
Right, that yes, no, sometimes thing. Like,
yeah.
Why does that get, you know, why do those 12 questions get to decide if I need support or not?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
it should be more than that.
Yeah.
It should be like a sit down conversation where someone's coming into your home and is just like, how are you? Like, tell me everything. Talk about your birth. Talk about your feelings. Talk, you know, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It should be more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I wanted to ask you too about the placenta, because I don't know very much about it other than the fact that it's like weird for people to do this thing and drink it and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'd love for you to kind of explain, you know, why it's important, like, why, you know, all the things.
Sure. So the placenta is a multifunctional organ, and it delivers nutrients and antibodies to the baby during pregnancy. It is also supplies oxygen, it filters out waste, it produces hormones that signal milk production. So it plays a vital role during pregnancy, right? And so people think that, okay, you birth it and then it's done. Like, I don't want it anymore. And that's
what
was that?
So do we, like, in a normal hospital setting, do they just, like, throw it away? Is that a thing? I remember, like...
So you get a choice, right? So if you don't say anything, then yes, they'll just toss it. You can keep it, and you can take it home if you want to. And some people, you know, plant a tree with it and, like, do a kind of ceremony. Or there's different things that you can do. But... some women, including myself, I guess now, kind of honor their placenta through consumption. And there's different types of consumption. I mean, you can eat it raw if you want to. You can encapsulate it into like pill form, or you can put it into tinctures and stuff like that. And when I consumed mine, I guess it was technically raw, but it was frozen. So like what my midwife had done was cut it up into pieces, like pill-sized pieces, Mm-hmm. And then she froze it. And then the next day she put them all into like a mason jar. And I would just like put two or three in a smoothie every morning until it was gone. Oh, and like, I couldn't taste it. Yeah. I didn't notice it. Like,
yeah,
my husband would just make my smoothies and like put my placenta in there and it was fine. And like, I feel like it helped. At least it gave me peace of mind that I was doing something with it. And like, maybe it's helping me with not getting postpartum depression. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's reported to have benefits that include regulation of hormone levels, reducing postpartum bleeding, decreasing the risk for postpartum depression or anxiety, mood improvement, and then helping to increase milk supply. So it really just kind of depends on, I don't know. Some people don't believe that and some people do. For me, it was worth trying and I saw a positive outcome. And I've now taken placenta training courses and I do firmly believe that like consuming your placenta after birth has benefits. Not everyone might experience that. But to me, it's worth trying. And yeah, if it doesn't work for you or you feel negative effects, then just stop taking it.
Yeah.
You don't have to take it.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't know any of that, really. That's awesome.
It's not talked about, really. Placentas, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Is there... I'm trying to think of, like... if there was anything else that I wanted to ask you, or if
I know before we had,
you want to talk about,
like when we first started talking, you had said possibly, do you want me to talk about pricing? I could that if you want.
Yes. Yeah. Just maybe what, cause I've heard too sometimes that going with a midwife or a doula can in some aspects be a lot cheaper than having a birth in a hospital.
Yeah. I mean, it really just depends. So the midwives that I know, I mean, because they're not under a licensure, because they're not recognized in the state, it's not then covered by insurance, right? So it's out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And so for a home birth midwife here, it ranges from $2,500 to $4,000, which is really not a lot compared to other states.
Which is still way cheaper.
States, yeah, in other states, it's more than that. But what that includes is obviously from the time that you hire them, you have emotional support, information, knowledge, you have them on text, right? Until postpartum. And basically, and most of the midwives that I know, like I said, they'll be with you forever, right? If you have a question a year later, they're going to respond to you. And then of course, having them at your birth, whatever that may look like for you, but that's for midwives in home births in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Doulas range from 600 to 1,000. And I am pretty sure that most of them do not fall under insurance. That's an out-of-pocket thing also. So whether you're in a hospital birth or a home birth, the price may vary. And then, of course, depending on who you're hiring, mm-hmm. That 600 to 1,000 is in like the Omaha area. And then postpartum doulas are hourly typically. So some, it ranges from like $25 to $35 an hour. And then sometimes there's travel fees, or non-refundable deposits and, you know, stuff like that. And then placenta services right now, I believe are about $150. Between $150 and like $275 for if you're wanting like a raw consumption method, like having someone come in, prepare it, mm-hmm. freeze it, you know, all that stuff for smoothies, or do placenta encapsulations. And then most of those include the tinctures as well, which are just, you know, helpful for stabilizing mood and kind of, like, oh, I'm not feeling good today. Like, I'm going to take a few drops of my tincture and mm-hmm. you usually notice a change. But yeah, those are the prices that I am aware of here. Cool.
yeah, I think that's like the biggest thing, I feel like, you know, because I've had friends too that are just, that don't have insurance, and they're like, there's no way I would ever have a birth in a hospital. It's crazy expense. Like, the cost is like, to have, to give birth is insane.
Right, right. It really like, is. And I know, I mean, some of the midwives here will work with you too. I mean, it's not like I need $4,000 up front. It's like, here's a deposit. You can make payments. They do payment plans and stuff okay. like that. And they're very lenient, you know, and will work with you and your income. And yeah, hopefully, you know, make it work for what you're wanting.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that too, if there were, if they have payment plans and how that all mm-hmm. works. Yeah, cool. Nice. Yeah, well, yeah, I guess, do you have any anything else you want to add or anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think we kind of covered, like, a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with whatever you want to do.
Yeah, well, for anybody that maybe wants to ask you any questions or maybe work with you in the future, you know, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I have a website. It's called holisticbirthservices.com. And I don't know if you have like show notes that you can add that mm-hmm. to or something.
Yeah, totally.
But it's holistic with a W. So WHOLISTIC, right? Birthservices.com. And then that same handle is used for Facebook and Instagram. So I'm on all of those. And yeah, you can shoot me a message or an email or follow me or do whatever you want. And hopefully I can, you know, get back to you quickly if you have a question.
Yeah. And you also do, are you still doing, your women's circles as well?
Yeah. So me and Arielle, yep. We do the monthly women's circle. She is out of the country right now. Yeah. And so our next one is, in February, but that's called Materna Raising Mothers. And we just have an Instagram for that. And so usually we'll post our upcoming topics. But yeah, it's just a women's circle where we gather and, you know, share stories and talk, and mm-hmm. it's wonderful.
Yeah. I've been to a couple of them and I really enjoyed them.
Just thank them. You. Yeah, you taught at one too, which was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about, you know, just gathering with women that you don't really know that well and just, you know, sharing really vulnerable things sometimes. And I love that you guys have like topics for each month, to give people, you know, an interest of, you know, if they're looking for something particular and it's not, and I just wanted to say too, for people that don't know, right, that you, it's not just for mothers, right? Like, it's just all
yeah. So it started off mothers were the main focus in the beginning, but all women are welcome. Yeah, you definitely don't have to be a mom. And our topics have kind of moved away from specific motherhood topics to more like women topics. But yes.
Cool. Yeah, what are maybe you can just give some examples of some of the topics that you guys have done so far.
Sure. So we, well, when we had you, that was like the fertility awareness, right? And talking mm-hmm. about our menstrual cycles and menstrual health. And let's see, our next one was going to be our authentic self. So honoring your heart and your soul, just kind of reconnecting to yourself and trusting yourself and how to be okay with who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. Let's see, we've done surviving and thriving through trauma, which was a really good one. We all kind of, you know, gathered and if you were comfortable, shared some experiences that some of us may have gone through and how we coped with that and how we overcame that and how we can better support each other through, trauma. And then we did a yoni steaming one, which was really fun. So we got to create our own yoni steaming blends, and we even had yoni steaming chairs set up where women could practice yoni steaming, also known as like vaginal steaming, if anyone doesn't know what yoni steaming is. And then let's see, we did eco-friendly living. I mean, it kind of just varies. And we're very open to exploring topics that other people want to dive into, too. So if that's, you know, if there's a topic that someone really wants to discuss, then we're all for, you know, trying to get that in there and hearing what they have to say and sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Awesome. That's super exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Monique. This has been awesome. I definitely
thank you.
Learned a lot as well. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Have a lovely day. Right. Thank you.
Thanks.